It's that time again. We've got a drawbridge. It's in position. Ben is here with me. Let's do box four.
That's not our normal music, but I thought I'd throw that in there. And Aludra, you failed to introduce yourself, so welcome to the show.
Oh, I was just about to, but it's okay. You beat me to the punch. Always Ben beats me to the punch.
Well, I try. I just see. Here's the thing. You always, you know, welcome me onto the show, and I just want to make sure that you are also welcomed and that everybody knows who you are because you are amazing.
Aw, thank you, Ben. I think you are pretty awesome yourself.
Well, thanks. I mean, look,
why we do this show?
I gotta say, I think I have pretty good taste in friends, and you being one of my bestest friends, I mean, it says something. That's all.
Yeah, it's pretty sweet. Okay, everybody, this is Box 4, the show where we nerd out and geek out about various things that have been going on and fandoms and what have you all the time.
Yeah.
I'm Aludra, that's Ben, and we're here to share some fun things with you. So Ben,
yes.
What have you been doing? What is going on?
Okay, so I brought it up like every single episode almost since it came out. But so there's this little game called Horizon Zero Dawn that I'm sure everybody is sick of me talking about.
Nobody's sick of anything, Ben. God, give yourself some credit.
We'll see.
We're interested in what you have to say. Okay. Stop downplaying that.
Okay. Well, I have finally gone through and beaten it again, this time on PC as opposed to the PlayStation 4. And
awesome.
This is the first time that I actually went through and I did like the hunting trials. So I got a whole brand new story arc that I never did before because I'm like, I'm just going to get main this game. I'm going to go through. Have fun. I went through, I did the Frozen Wilds expansion before I did the final mission because I figured anything I do there might actually play into the final mission just to see what happened because before beat the game, then went into the Frozen Wilds. And here's the funny thing is it adds just a tiny little bit. It's nothing huge, but I felt so satisfied by the time I was done with this game because I went through, you know, found every single hidden or, you know, collectible thing before I even really did any of the story mission. And then went through.
I'm imagining you overturning every leaf looking for a certain variety of golden bug or something.
Well, the good news is that there's not a whole variety of things to actually that you need to do. Plus, one of the first merchants you go to, you can buy maps that show where everything is, at least the general area where everything is. So it's a lot, you know, it's not like, say, I don't know, Assassin's Creed, where you have to find 20 different things and they're hidden somewhere. This is, you look at the map, there's a circle and then it's somewhere in that circle. And because of how the game
works. Much easier.
Oh yeah. And because of how the game works, you have your focus so that you can kind of scan and look around and see it. And sometimes it's super easy to get.
Something like that in Genshin Impact, and they actually added this thing where it makes a sound, but that doesn't help because sometimes the sound will just cut.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. Yeah, so I was like doing one and it was like, can't possibly be at the top of the cliff. The sound cuts.
Oh, that's real handy. Like if you get too close, it's like, oh, we don't give you a hint anymore. You just have to use your eyes.
Just that one. Just that one. And it took me an hour to figure out where it was. But no.
Yeah.
No, it really wasn't. This event is not fun. But anyways, go ahead.
So I went through, you know, found everything. And, you know, got the achievements in Steam, which, of course, achievements in Steam don't matter because you can just hack it easy and get all of them.
Yeah.
So I don't care about that. But, you know, I saw, that the Hunting Lodge side stuff that I never saw before, which I'm glad I did because there's a comic that came out that has a character that you interact with only in that quest line. So I didn't know. And then, you know, went in, did everything before I finished the game, and it was one of the most satisfying endings to a game that I've ever done. Like, even though I've beaten the game before, it was great because you have this, like, before you do the final mission, you have these two optional side quests that are part of it that say, hey, you know, go check out these battlements, go check over here, you know, inspect them before the battle comes. And so you go and then you interact and talk to like almost everybody that you've helped along the way. Mm-hmm. And you see the difference that you've made in this fictional world. And, you know, it is one of those whole, hey, it's the, you know, the lone hero going around doing stuff. And, you know, it's a video game, of course, but you see how you've like touched these fictional people's lives and helped them out. And then you go up to this other section, you see all these other people, and here's the two people from the Frozen Wilds. So you're like, why are you even here? It's so far away. And like, well, you said you needed help. And, you know, it's just really neat. And so you go through and it's almost like walking the ship before the finale in like Mass Effect 3, how you go and mm-hmm. you talk to everybody. And so, I do that. Then I start the battle, and the battle's great. It's a really great end to the game. And, you know, go through, do that. I'm like, oh, this is great. I beat it. I'm like, yeah, yay. Then you have the tiny after bit, which is great, especially if you've gone through and, you know, like followed the story through the whole thing. It's a very satisfying ending. And then after the credits, there's the little bit that's all like, oh, here's your sequel bait, which... thank goodness there's a sequel coming out, because I'm dying to go back into that world and hang out with Aloy some more. She's a fantastic main character, and, you know, really shows that. And, you know, I'm not jumping in too much into like gender politics and gaming or whatever, but mm-hmm. look, women can be awesome leads. It's one of the reasons why I always do female Shepard whenever I do Mass Effect, because I think that she's more commanding and is just so much more kick-ass.
Yeah.
And the fact that Aloy is a big female lead, and as I was going through and seeing everybody, there were actually a lot of female characters that were there to help out, that were leading, like, tribe people, or, like, the head of the Hunter's Lodge is a female now. And it was neat to see, and I love that it kind of cracked that whole... gender bias, like sexism bias thing in this game without, you know, like, again, it's not like a big thing, but it's something that I noticed and I appreciated. And then just having the satisfying ending, like everything, I go back to it and say that this is essentially a perfect game. Mm-hmm. And I will continue saying that I love it. It is, like, as games go, Mass Effect Trilogy, Horizon Zero Dawn, like 1 and 2 right there. They're so good. Mm-hmm. And this is probably the last time I'm going to say or talk about it too much until, you know, Forbidden West comes out. But yeah, if you haven't played this game, I really recommend it. It's a lot of fun. The world is amazing. The environment changes a lot. There's a whole lot going on. So worth your time. Yeah.
Yeah, every time we talk about it, I get really interested in playing it. And it's like, time for this.
You know what, actually, let me pull up Steam really quick. I want to see how much time I actually dumped into it this time.
Yeah, because it's got to be a lot.
Yeah, it is. Let's see, 83.6 hours. I put a lot of time into it.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah, that's going around to just really enjoying. And here's the thing too, I did a lot of fast travel where I didn't the first time I played it,
mm-hmm.
which is a little weird now that I think about it. But I mean, it's worth every penny that I poured into that game. I bought it twice and have loved every single second of both times I played it.
That's really great. I love it when you can go back to a game. It's not something you can always do.
Mm-hmm.
Granted, this is like your third or fourth playthrough on a game that's fairly recent.
So. Second playthrough, actually.
Oh, okay. Second full finish. How's that?
Yeah, there you go. That works.
Because I know you probably fiddled around.
I might have jumped in on the PlayStation again to be like, oh, maybe I should look at those hunting trials. And, well, here's the thing, too. I might go back on the PlayStation and just completely clear out everything just in the off chance it takes save data and pushes it into Forbidden West. Like, such an off chance.
Look at us.
I doubt it'll happen. But I want to do it. Oh my gosh.
Oh, that's so funny.
I love the game so much. It's just so good.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It is really, I'm really glad that you found a game that you love so much.
Yeah. Oh, and by the way, I found out that the max level is 60. You can't get past that. Yeah. Once you hit 60, okay. XP bar doesn't exist anymore.
That's good to know. Until what? Forbidden Wilds gives you what? Like another 5 or 10?
Well, it's an entirely different game since it's not technically an expansion.
Oh, yeah. I thought it was an expansion. No,
yeah. A brand new game. So,
and then it might peek over and look at you and go, well, I can mention this thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, man. So good. Anyways, what have you been doing? Like, I'm just so tongue-tied over this game. What have you been up to? What have you been playing mostly?
Well, mostly I've been playing Genshin Impact, but we are winding up to World of Warcraft. But I'll talk about WoW in a bit. Mm-hmm. So Genshin Impact has this new event going on. It's not a lot of fun, if I'm being totally honest. You keep running around areas and gathering up all the fallen meteors because these meteors are putting people to sleep.
Oh.
And they can't wake up. But if you gather them all up using your magic and stealing them away, suddenly they wake up and they're fine again.
Makes sense.
Yeah. So I'm going around and I'm gathering meteors and I'm doing the whole thing. And it's just like, this isn't fun because all I'm doing is going around in these big circles trying to gather up this stuff. Mm-hmm. I'm not getting XP. Well, the game doesn't give you much leveling XP for every character you kill. It's mostly you find these vouchers and that's how you level your characters.
Oh, okay. That's an interesting way of doing it.
But what I was most excited for is the new banner. See, it's a gacha game, so you save up your premium currency, and I did. I saved up enough for 20 rolls with this new banner, and the banner is like the heading for, you know, these are the characters you can roll for. This is the banner.
Gotcha.
It's a weird way. So it's a set.
It's like series of card of a collectible card game almost.
Yeah, yeah. And so what is going on in this banner is there's two brand new characters, but I wasn't even interested in them. I was interested in this spellcaster lady. She does earth. It's called Geo, mm-hmm. but basically she flings rocks at people. And she wears a fancy dress and is really pretty. And okay. I was like, I want her.
I can get behind that.
Yeah. And she was like one of the lesser grade. And I'm like, she's going to come up a lot. I want to get her and I want to level her up. Well, so I saved up all this currency for like weeks and weeks. And I was like, yeah, I'm going to do this. And I'm not doing any rolls. And I'm so excited. Ben, if you look in the show notes.
Yeah, I see a beautiful picture there.
Okay, so this is like one roll. With my Genshin, I'll put this on the website, guys, so you can see it. But basically, I got 2 5-star characters and 2 4-star characters in the same role.
So that is 5-star the highest?
Highest.
Holy crap.
I have never gotten a 5-star before now. And I got 2. I got the new banner character and then just another random one. These guys are a 0.05% drop rate or some BS. It's incredibly low drop rate. And I got 2 of them. The new guy whose name is like Tartuga, but he's also known as Child and Jean. I was like, holy cow. Okay. Then I got the new 4-star character, the pink haired little girl, Diana. And then I got my rock haired wizardess.
Oh, so you did get your wizard.
My rock throwing.
Yeah.
Wizardess.
So not only did you get the one you wanted, you got a good version of her. And then.
It's only the one version of her.
Oh, okay. Sorry. So, I figured there were like you can get a 2, 3, 4, or 5-star version of her.
No, okay. It was just the one. But my jaw hit the ground. I have never heard of somebody getting 2 5-stars on the same roll, let alone 2 other characters. So I got 4 characters, 2 new ones, 2 5-stars, all in the same draw. I'm pretty sure I used up my luck, or all the luck that's been owed to me this 2020 must have been in there. It must have been. Yeah.
So
that is insane.
I okay, I have to ask.
Mm-hmm.
Was it the first pack you opened?
Yes.
Oh, shit. Okay, didn't it say was. It. Don't have to edit. Okay, we're good.
Yeah, it was the first draw. I did my other draw, and I got the fourth character on the banner, which she is a claymore wielding, eye patch wearing pirate woman.
Oh, that's cool.
Her sword's about as big as her, makes and sense. She's really awesome. I already had her, so I got to power her up more. Because if you get a double, you power them up more, and you can level them that way, or you level their power levels that way. So yeah, it's a system. It's very common in Asian games. I was already expecting it, but yeah, all those swords and everything on this picture, garbage. But
yeah, well, when you get what you got, who cares about the garbage at this point? Wow,
everything else is like 3-star weapons, and I was like, well. Jean wasn't even on this banner is what really killed it for me. I was like, she's not even, she is a very distant chance. And when you roll on a banner, the 5-star is you have a 50% chance of getting the guy on the banner as your 5-star. If you roll up a 5-star, I got 2 5-stars and that's just insane. I have spent 5 entire dollars in this game. That's it. And that's all I plan on spending in this game. Especially if I can get things like this for saving up my premium currency.
Yeah, no kidding. Congratulations. As someone who has not played but understands how some of this stuff kind of works, just based on... Remind me to tell you about the Spider-Man mobile game I used to play.
Yeah.
And like I
same basic thing
it kind of yeah like I get yep. it and that is just amazing, so you know, bravo.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, it's just dumb luck that I got all this, but it's still pretty nuts. That was my first draw, like I said. So my second one, I'm like, yeah, I'm getting nothing this draw. Oh look, yeah, it's just the one person. I totally expected that. Yeah, so, oh, it's insane. But you're also now at the disadvantage of, I've got 4 new characters to level.
Oh, darn.
And as I said before, it's not really easy to level characters in this game. As a matter of fact, some people just pick, like, a team and just go with it. Because they're really short on the resources to level.
Yeah,
I don't care. My child is already level 50. Take that, resources. And so Jean is at level 19 installed there. And the other two are at level 1 because it can be really tough.
Yeah.
And I'm at the point where I got to level my guys to 60, which isn't cheap. Because my world is about to level up around me.
Oh.
And if they don't keep up with that, then...
It's game over, man.
Yeah, it's too difficult. So, it's insane. That's everything I think this decade owed me. They decided to put it in a mobile game. I have a lotto ticket here. If more of this luck could be on this lotto ticket here... And before the comments come rolling in, oh, that's stupid, you'll never win. Do you know what's really fun is paying $1 and just discussing what you do to win.
Yeah.
That's how we play.
And here's the thing. Someone wins, and you have just as much chance, even if it's so little. Who cares?
Yeah, exactly. It's by paying $1 for a lotto ticket every now and then, you're giving yourself permission to dream.
Yeah.
Because though it's an insane possibility and the odds are really weird and really against you, it's still permission now to go, what if?
Look.
And that's.
I have probably dropped less money on lottery tickets than someone who spends a night in Vegas.
Yeah.
Because I don't like that kind of gambling. If I'm at the convenience store, I'll drop $1 on a lotto ticket just for gits and shiggles, because you never know.
Yeah, exactly. You never know. Somebody got to win. Might as well be you.
I have won my money back more times than I care to admit.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's just fun.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, that's me gambling in Genshin Impact. I pretty much won the game with that. I mean, if you've got a comparable, if you pull, let me know, because I'd love to see anybody's pulls that match up to that.
Yeah, especially if it's something that's a little more commonplace than you'd think, too. Mm-hmm. Like, I wouldn't think so, but I mean, heck, if everybody's just getting pulls like that, it may be worth really kind of saving up a ton of currency.
Yeah, and it's free currency, too. You get like 5 or 10 every time you open up a treasure chest, and they replenish mm-hmm. the treasure chest often, so.
Oh, that's good.
It's, like, really insane. My friend showed me one where he had the previous banner head 5-star guy on it, mm-hmm. and then 2 more characters. And I thought that was insane. He was like, yeah, it's really lucky. I don't understand how this happened.
Yeah, but you got the one that beat it.
Mm-hmm, I did. And I wasn't even trying to beat it. I was like, I want the pretty Gia lady. She looks really cool. And she flings rocks at people. And you know what? Even as level 1, I've used her to solve some puzzles. And she's pretty cool.
So would you say that she's rocking?
Oh, she is definitely rocking.
Good to know. So, you know, speaking of events that aren't really fun.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been playing a little bit of World of Warcraft recently.
Oh, God! What a segue into our lifelong hobby here, Ben!
Well,
shared lifelong hobby. And he's like, and you know what? I get it. That's the worst part. I get it.
Well, here's the thing. It's a pre-launch event that's been going on in World of Warcraft. And these have always been hit or miss.
Yeah.
And, you know, I will readily admit that, like, the Legion one, nailed it. The Pandaria one didn't even happen.
Yeah, I know.
And, I mean, they're kind of all over the place. And
when
they were talking, or Blizzard was talking about this one, they were talking about, you know, the undead invasions happening again, like it did before Wrath of the Lich King. And I'm just kind of like, okay, well, that's kind of cool. I remember that time, and in fact I'm still super proud that my mage Alanya never turned into a zombie. She never got bit. I did what I could to stay safe. I snuck around when I needed to go into town, and mm-hmm. there were zombies all over the place during that time. Like, it was a legitimate, like, hey, if the zombie apocalypse happens, watch out, like, kind of thing. It actually happened, you know. It was like that. So now the way that it's set up is that stuff can happen, but I've not seen one zombie. Granted, I haven't been logging in a ton because there's nothing I need in the game right now.
Well, there's that nice bag, but that's a chance every 7 or so hours.
I got it. I got the bag.
Oh, but, me, man.
Well, no. So here's the thing. Originally, it was every 20 minutes a new rare would spawn, and then you fly over there and then wait and do absolutely nothing. And then you kill it. So then on Monday...
Yeah, I tab out on Genshin Impact.
There you go. That's the way to do it. But on Monday last week, they changed it to every 10 minutes. So, you know, it was cycling a lot faster.
So now it's every 3 or 4 hours.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, that was happening. I did the quest lines, you know, like the story quest lines. And I'm just kind of like, okay, it's, you know, it's there. They're kind of throwaway. But
yeah, they I did them too. They were interesting, but not engaging.
It was enough to get me to log in and see what they had planned for it, which again wasn't a whole ton. And like, I get that, you know, this year has been a weird year. Coming up with a really good launch event that has to deal with like sickness and turning into a zombie, maybe not the best thing to do. So I kind of get that too.
Plus everybody isn't there. So it's not like they can implement and design these things as well as in the past.
Exactly.
I don't know if Blizzard how Blizzard is running currently, but I mean, at the beginning of the year, a lot of businesses couldn't be doing business in person. And in California right now, we even have, we're doing stricter lockdown this month. Yeah.
Well, I know that's just from talking with people in Blizzard and stories. they are essentially like mostly work from home from what I've heard. So I get where it makes it harder to design things. So like I'm not blaming them. I'm just basically saying I'm not super engaged. But I will tell you how I got the bag.
I'd love to hear how you got this bag because I've been logging in sporadically. I'm not. I didn't even notice that they jumped up how fast.
Oh yeah.
I didn't even notice.
Well, first of all, definitely if you follow Lore on Twitter, don't look at his recent posts because he's gotten like 7 of them on different characters or something like that.
Good for him, man. I haven't even gotten loot the last few times I've logged in.
Just the Scourge Stones, which anyways. So it was like a Thursday or a Wednesday or something. It was some night, whatever. I work during the week, so
it happened at night.
Yeah, it did. I work during the week, so my computer was off and I'm feeding the cats, and then Nevermore says, "Oh hey, bad guys spawned again." I'm like, "Oh, okay, fine." So like he had just spawned. So I had 2 minutes.
Which I love.
Exactly. So I'm like, okay. So then I walk over, I turn my computer back on because I didn't have it on. And thankfully, the operating system and WoW are on an SSD. So I logged in, got in really fast. I was in Dalaran, flew north, got to Syndragosa's Fall, landed. He became active, killed him, got the bag. Flew back into the fairgrounds, logged off, turned everything back off, and went to bed. So it was total luck that I just, you know, Nevermore just like, hey, he's spawning again. I'm like, well, I guess I'm still awake. I might as well.
Yeah, yeah.
So super lucky on that. But I mean, ever since I got that and did that other quest line, I haven't logged in because I'm just like, meh, whatever. Like I'm not leveling alts, which I thought that I would do, but as of right now, I don't really care.
Yeah, I need to get Aludra up. Aludra's not up, but do you know who is up? Is I have a brand new, a shiny, a squeaky, awesome warlock.
Ooh.
Apparently, there's supposed to be this rivalry between warlocks and mages. I never paid attention, and I'm not about to trash somebody who's on my raid team.
Well, let me put it this way. I do it just because I like, you know, I like teasing Ro because it's fun.
I don't
actually hate warlocks. I don't.
Yeah, I do. I tease old man Franks a lot.
Oh, well, I mean, you tease him anyway. I mean, just like I
do. So that's just there.
We're friends. That's how that goes. Mm-hmm. Like you and I tease each other a lot, too.
Yeah.
But
never mean spirited, guys.
Oh, no, never. But yeah, no, I get it. It's like, you know, I leveled Xiaobaoshi in the last expansion. And then finally, when I was just like, I'm too stressed to play a healer anymore, swapped over and then boosted my mage, and I was really happy, then geared her up, and that's my new mage Roosie. She's gonna be my main in Shadowlands so far.
Yeah,
the fact that I've changed mains twice, who knows.
I don't like demon hunters as much anymore. Mm-hmm. and everybody was giving me heck for not liking them as much too. They were teasing me big, and they were like, oh, and they were telling devs and stuff on me. And I was like, guys, whoa, I just said I didn't. Okay, you know what? Fine. I'm going to roll with this. Yeah. Yeah. Make this game all my other games combined, please. Because just do it.
There you go.
Yeah. I mean, I don't actually feel that way, but sure, let's do this. I feel like they took all the fun zoomies out of my zoomies.
Yeah, no, I get it.
And they took my bombers away because I did demonology because, I mean, the more pets you can have, the better the class.
Of course.
And they took my bombers away.
Well,
that was so fun.
There's always the chance they might come back when you hit 60, because I know that they took some things away and they're giving them back when we level again. Like
I rolled so hard, I think the mic picked it up.
I will tell you, it's the weirdest thing when you're like, okay, I've got 4 pets on my hunter with me. I'm going to try and tame that one. Oh, I can't because I don't have a 5th hunter's pet slot. What the crap? And then turns out I'm getting at like level 58. I'm like, why?
Yeah.
That it's an interesting choice.
It is an interesting choice, and it's a choice they made, and they might walk it back, and they might not. we'll just see. Now, Covenants, I don't know anything about him, and I'm choosing them solely based on aesthetic.
Me too!
That I think the character would want.
Oh, yeah.
All I've heard is gothic top hats is one, and I am like, I believe that's where my warlock will live.
I am going to Natureland.
I don't know what to pick for my Zoomy Zoomer.
Ooh.
I don't know where to place my Demon Hunter, because my Demon Hunter's aesthetic is Blades and Death.
Oh, so I know where we'll you're going.
Okay, but it's got to be also nice, because I like nice things.
Never mind, you're not going there. Well, here's the thing. I'm going to level up four characters so I can do the Covenants on four characters.
Yeah, I might do that too. And Illusion. Oh, I power leveled my Paladin, or I used my boost on my Paladin
because
I heard Pally healing was coming back to where I liked it.
Ooh.
And, you know, where I'm a main tank healer, I heal the main tank, I'm really good at it. And let's be honest, in Wrath, that's what I did, is I main tank healed everything through ICC, and I loved it.
Well, let me tell you something. Healing has changed a lot since Wrath. They're really
I do know this.
There definitely aren't generally main tank healers anymore.
I know, they took that away and I was devastated, and they're like, here, we're gonna give you AoE spells that don't actually work.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay. And then they're like, we're gonna nerf your big heals now to compensate for giving you this flashlight that you have to be in exactly the right position to use. And I was like, okay. And then they were like, and we're taking away your mana regen. And I went, I'm out.
Yeah, I don't blame you. Now, do you remember back like raiding and Burning Crusade when basically it was the tanks get healed and everyone else is on their own?
Yes. Yes, I do.
It was potions and bandages. And if you didn't come to raid with those and you died, it's your fault.
Hey, just before something's happened in Wrath, it was before then. It was
Burning Crusade?
Yeah, Burning Crusade, thank you. For some reason, Burning Crusade got overwritten by Wrath in my brain just now.
Yeah, that's okay.
Do you remember in Vanilla, and to pretty late into Burning Crusade, we had to stack potions?
I never did
that. Do you remember? No. But do you remember you could have like one of each type of potion on you?
Oh, yeah.
And all of this and how serious it was.
It wasn't a one potion per fight like rule. Do you remember when you could sit down and eat and drink in the middle of combat?
I had to do it a couple times during Gruul's Lair. Gruul's Lair.
Oh,
I had to pull
that. No, we did that in Tempest Keep. The vroom vroom guy, the big machine, the whatever it's called. Yeah.
I don't know. He's one shot shorty now because it was boom bye.
Yeah, exactly. But
I'm on a quest for a bird now.
Oh man, some of those changes just like changed up the entire process of the entire game in such a way
that made old content pretty much unplayable. People were like, well, they're reusing Naxx because no one does it anymore. It's like, yeah, because you used to have to stack all these buffs on you, and now you can't stack potions like that anymore. So even 10 levels above 25 man Naxx, you can't run it anymore.
Oh yeah. Now, what was really fun is going into Molten Core as a fire mage and not knowing that everything you do will do no damage
whatsoever. I remember that, and people were like, but I don't like arcane, or you couldn't even be really arcane because some of the arcane, you had to go fast, or you had to sit out certain bosses, and oh my gosh, I'm not saying the game was better then,
by all means, I'm not.
I'm just saying I played a different game sometimes.
Oh yeah. No, in fact, my guild at the time, like we, you know, I came in at the end of Burning Crusade when I forget what it's called now. The Blood Elf Island that had the Sunwell on it. Thank you.
Dennis.
Yeah. Whatever. Anyways, I came in around that time and, you know, leveled up and everything. And my raid team was like, hey, we're going to go do Molten Core. We haven't been there in forever. And then it was like, oh, who's keyed? We can't let a lot of these people in. We have to summon from inside and all these different things. And then we get in there and I'm walking around. I'm like, okay, cool. First time in there ever. I'm a fire mage.
They didn't tell you.
No, so I'm just spamming Frostbolt the entire time because it's all I can do. And I'm doing like piddly damage. And oh, man, that game was special at some time. Like, I get the logic behind it of, hey, there's a thing made of fire. I'm going to throw more fire at it. Oh, it doesn't work.
Yeah.
Sometimes you need to change mechanics for fun.
Yes, you do.
And I appreciate those things now.
World of Warcraft used to be a very different game, very punishing.
Mm-hmm.
And though...
Well, and even
though
then,
I have memories of it and some of them are fond, by all means, do I not want it to go back to that?
Well, and the funny thing is that even then at the time, as punishing as they were, that was known as the Care Bear game because you got handed so much stuff and it was so much easier than all these other MMOs because other MMOs didn't have quests. You leveled up just by killing stuff and that's it.
Yep.
Oh, my
quests
gosh.
Were seen as a luxury. Can you imagine?
Yeah, and now I play for the story content. That's the only reason I'm in here sometimes.
Oh, yeah. Catgirls, for me, is the ultimate in story. Mm-hmm. And it's to the point, though, where I forget things because they throw so much at you in Catgirls, and it's also interesting, and you become really engrossed in the story. And it's like, don't you remember this thing at the end of Heaven's Word? I'm like, here's what I remember about Heaven's Word. I was a puppy and everybody was kicking me a lot. Right in the feelings.
Oh. Well, it's funny because on Azeroth Roundtable last night, we had Manny on.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, the whole thing started because you know how I hate Throne of Thunder. So it's one of his favorite raids. And I'm just like, no. So we had him on so that we can basically just yell at each other. We didn't yell at each other, but you know, Manny's fun. We always have fun talking to him. But he started pointing out all these different things that happened or that were in Throne of Thunder that are actually completely tied to Shadowlands. And I'm just like, holy crap, this is kind of crazy. Still hate that raid. But wow. Mm-hmm. Like it goes to show that Blizzard is really good at taking things that are just either arbitrarily made up and actually growing them or by, you know, just tossing things down and then picking them back up later on.
Hopefully they do this. There's a lot of plot holes in the lore that still get to me. But
oh, so many. So many. I'm just glad that if you create a blood elf now, it's not time travel of, okay, we've got to reclaim the Sunwell. The Sunwell's back. Oh, we've got to reclaim it again. Okay, time to get it. We have the Sunwell back.
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
Any other time when you level, it's like, who's the war chief today? Spin a wheel. Technically, that could kind of still be the case. But anyways, I digress.
Yeah, we have Garrosh phased out and tucked in a corner, or Thrall, so you can do your quest in the time travel-y way.
Yeah. Fun stuff.
Yeah.
But overall, like, I'm really looking forward to Shadowlands. And
Yeah.
It's new stuff. Like, is there something specifically that, like... I know that you don't do deep dives like I do or as well because, you know, you don't want to know every single thing and you don't want to know a full story. You don't want to know all that stuff until you get in and play. So of what you do know, is there something that you're just like super excited for?
I'm actually really interested to see how the Covenant stuff plays out.
Yeah.
I just know that there are Covenants. And even though she gets a lot of hate, I like Celia Menthanil. Or no.
Is Calia. Calia Menethil.
Calia. Thank you. Calia. So focused on the last name, I didn't realize I got the first name. I like her. She was a throwaway character in most of the lore. And now she's doing something. And I feel like they're writing her doing this in her own way. Like those strong female protagonists you like. And I mean, I am so burnt out on Sylvanas. I knew from the outset when I first read the new book she was in that she's coming in to take over the Forsaken, and she's going to do it differently, and there's going to be a lot of conflict because of what the Forsaken are and what she is. Mm-hmm. But I'm really looking forward to see her play out and do it interestingly. You know, I'm already mad that they brought back that Ravenholt guy, that really cool guy from back in the War of the Ancients. We had this whole thing at one point in the game where we got him back from his phased out demon realm that he had sacrificed himself into. And oh my gosh, he's alive and we got to bring him back. And yay, we're bringing back Ravenholt. And then he vanished. And it was like, this guy is the supreme best strategist the military had ever seen when they lost him in the War of the Ancients. He was no one, and he rose to his rank in a very classist system that didn't want him to rise based off pure self-gumption. This is a character who can help us in our war against the demons. Oh, he's gone. We don't know where he is.
Huh. See, I didn't even know anything about that dude. That's cool.
Yeah. He was a peasant who took over the military when all of the nobles like went, I'm out.
Gotcha.
Because what Ashara was doing and everything mm-hmm. was so difficult. And they were like, well, you're a noble, so of course you're a natural leader. And he was like,
oh, I hate like crap like that.
No, you're doing it wrong. Here's how we do it. And he rose to ranks and actually took over the military because all of the nobles were worthless. So that's great. And now we have Celia here.
Celia.
It's going to be Celia. She is a throwaway character who's basically, when she was mentioned in the Arthas book, and all she really did besides be Arthas's little sister was cry because her dad arranged a marriage to her to Deathwing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they didn't know he was Deathwing at the time, but yeah. The fact of the matter is she was being forced into an arranged marriage to somebody she didn't know who was much older than her, and it was devastating, and nobody could talk the king out of it. Because, you know, Deathwing's doing his doodly-doots, yeah. But that's
I mean, him and Anixia did a lot of doodly-doots.
Yeah, so I really want to see, because everything she's done since then has been on her own 2 feet. And this is somebody building themselves up again from nothing. Yeah, she had everything at one point, but it was all taken away from her.
Mm-hmm.
She has been more or less in hiding because of what her brother turned into.
Yeah.
And I really want to see what they do with this character. Now they can, oh no, I fell for the wrong guy. You know,
Blizzard I'm so tired of that crap.
Blizzard has a habit of doing that. They just, I feel like sometimes they don't know what to do with these strong female leaders mm-hmm. they put in place. I really don't like what they have done with Tyrande.
Yeah.
At all. It's terrible what they've done to her, so whatever, but I'm really interested in seeing this character grow and develop, and everybody's like, oh, and writing her off, and I'm like, this is the most interesting character to come out of Blizzard in ages. Go make your faces somewhere else.
Okay. Rebuttal time.
Okay,
let me finish before you say
I'm
anything.
I'm not gonna say okay, anything. Okay. You let me finish, so I'm gonna let you finish. It's just polite.
I totally agree that I want to see her grow. I want to see, as someone who only read the Arthas book, so I know very little about her from that. I read the Before the Storm book because good book. And, you know, you kind of get to know her from that. I want to see her character grow. I am definitely into that. This whole new kind of undead, like Lightsworn undead thing, it's interesting. And again, I want to see more of that. I want to see that stuff grow.
I agree.
I do not like her being the leader of the undead right away, though. And the biggest reason for that, at least for me, is because, one, she's kind of still an alliance character. You know, she she doesn't understand what it is to be the Horde. And two, the big thing that I have is she doesn't understand what it's like to be undead.
Yes. She doesn't understand Sylvanas is undead. Exactly.
Yeah. Well, even more so, she's been undead for 2 minutes versus the people who've been around for 10 years who've had to live the, you know, the way that they are. And I think that's the biggest issue that I have with her being put into that leadership position. Like, other than that, again, I do want to know more about her, and I would love to see her grow into being the leader of the undead. I don't want her to be the leader right away. That's the biggest issue that I have.
With I understand that. I understand that. And I think there's going to be quite a buildup. So if she is the sole person in power of the undead, like Sylvanas was, I think everything in Shadowlands will kind of be a test to her. That's my guess.
Well, that's even if she's in Shadowlands, though, because she wasn't abducted. Who knows? And there's actually talk of after Shadowlands, potentially there being a huge time skip, because we're in the afterlife. Time's all wibbly wobbly there. Who knows what it's actually going to be like when we come back?
So, ooh, are we going to come back to flying cars and skyscrapers?
I hope so. I think that'd be great.
That would be so crazy. That would be so insane. Lasers!
Yeah. But I mean, overall, though, like, I don't want to, I don't want all that character progression to be missed because we're in the Shadowlands and us come back and her being the huge, big, I'm the Forsaken. Like, I need to see that happen. Otherwise, it's just, here's an Alliance character that's now leading the Horde. So that's my two cents on it. And that's kind of, that's, I wouldn't say it's hate for the character. It's hate for the situation that they're thrusting her in.
Yeah, well, they have this bad habit with leadership and writing the roles. Like, it makes no sense for the humans to be in charge of the Alliance. And I'll never get over that. That Anduin, who's like barely 20.
Yeah, well, it's just because... Just because his dad was king. It's like, no.
Yeah, but it didn't make sense that his dad was the head of the Alliance.
Considering he was gone forever.
Yeah, he was gone. And so what else do we have? We have all these long-lived races who've been ruling and stuff. Mm-hmm. And yeah, they're a little secluded, but they're learning to share and grow in the world. Gee, if only we had somebody with more experience with logistics and leading a country for, I don't know, a millennia to help to run the Alliance.
Yeah, Taronda could have been so interesting.
Yeah,
they could have given her so much more.
And lines like "Shut up, Taronda" are thrown in there, and it's like that is the height of what the heck.
Yeah, like I have such a huge
that line in there. I was so upset.
Yeah.
This is supposed to be a matrilineal freaking society, but the men are just shut up, Taronda, whenever they feel like it.
Yeah. The entire thing, like, Taronda's story is a love triangle between Illidan and Malfurion. Like, that's kind of what they gave her. Then the tree burned down. Now she's this, you know, the night warrior. Okay. So I get... I would be really angry if someone came and completely destroyed a world tree that was my home. But
yeah, it was the home of all of your people.
Yeah, but they did the same thing with Jaina. You know, Theramore happened, and Jaina's just mad now. It's like,
and they did that secondary same thing.
Yeah, secondary or mad. Like, that's all you get.
It sucks. Blizzard's writing sucks, and they always.
Yeah.
People listening, just know that writing a woman isn't hard. It's the same as writing a man. You treat everybody as a person with complex emotions and desires. But I don't know why Blizzard always does this. But yeah, Jaina and Taronda have more or less the same story.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's terrible.
Jaina at least got more interesting with Battle for Azeroth. She's become more of her own character. But
when reading War Crimes, it just was anger. And while I understand the anger and pain of losing something so big and so much to you, that's not all there is.
Yeah.
especially for somebody who works so hard for peace. It was supposed to be this great flip on its head, and it just turned out to read as lazy. So I hope they don't get lazy with Celia.
Kalia.
Kalia, which, you know what the problem is every time I read it, my brain reads Celia, not Kalia. And so in my brain's processing, it's Celia. So.
All right. Sounds good.
Mm-hmm. Except for not knowing her name. I think she's really cool, guys.
Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
But anyways, what else are you doing?
Okay, so I've gotten into this book series. Now, Disney has been doing a lot of books lately, and one of them is the Twisted Tales series, and I have read all of those except for one. So I'm pretty excited. I love these, but there's been this other series going on that I've always wanted to read, but they keep making so many Twisted Tales, and Twisted Tales are like, what if the Enchantress from Beauty and the Beast, what if she was actually Belle's mother? How would that change the story?
Whoa, that is a very interesting arranged marriage.
It wasn't arranged, they fell in love.
No, I know. I was adding a weird twist to it myself.
Oh, okay. And then what if Ursula had won in the end of Little Mermaid?
That's a very interesting thought.
Because Eric just couldn't get the nerve to help in that one crucial moment. Mm-hmm. And, you know, what's that mean for the story? How does that change the story? Or in Mulan, what if Shang had been the one to be stabbed on that snowdrift? How would that change it?
Yeah. That's actually really cool. I might have to look into some of this stuff.
Yeah, it's really good. It's really good. Like, what if Jafar had not gotten what he needed? And he got the lamps first because Aladdin wasn't used to go into the cave at all.
Yeah. Okay, that's cool stuff.
So these are really interesting alternatives, and they keep spitting out these books, and they're great. Don't get me wrong. They are wonderful. I've loved them. Peter Pan one actually made me uncomfortable with how unhinged Hook was.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. Okay. It actually made stop and take a break because of just how unhinged Hook was in his quest to get Peter Pan and how realistically that was written. I had to take a break.
I don't blame you.
So there's a set of books about the stories from the villain's perspective.
Okay.
Not always a villain, because Prince Adam from Beauty and the Beast, that's his real name, is Adam.
Mm-hmm.
He's actually the main character in one of these books. And so there's the one I was most interested in, always caught my eye, is the Tangled one. The story from Gothel's perspective.
Okay, so really quick sidebar.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Way back when, I used to read Star Wars books all over the place.
Yeah.
There was a series, like a 9-book series written by 3 different authors called, I think it's like Legacy of the Force or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
2 of the authors were fantastic. One of them was so comically bad compared to the others that it stood out when you read his books. But
I think I know the guy.
Yeah, we'll talk about it off air. I don't want to throw crap at someone. But that whole story was the rise of Jason Solo, who obviously is no longer canon. Basically going to the dark side and trying to essentially become what Darth Vader was, but in a better way. And seeing
that was Nick's Ben.
Yeah. But seeing his justifications, how he worked, how he saw things, and mm-hmm. moved from that light side through the dark side, in some cases was written so well and so interesting, and like you completely understood why he did the things that he did.
And I love that.
And doing this from Mother Gothel's point of view in Tangled, like her entire being is so just, it's so selfish in what she does.
Mm-hmm.
I am curious as heck to know what's going on with this book now.
Yeah, yeah. So it's really interesting. What I didn't know is it's part of an arcing narrative throughout all of these perspectives. There is an ongoing story kind of playing in the background of people interfering, as you might put it, with the narratives and making things worse. Like, Gothel might have been fine if these people didn't get involved. She might have been. But once these three witches got involved, it turned really ugly really fast. And her obsession with the flower is actually quite justified. And eventually, yeah, so she never even really saw Rapunzel as a person.
Yeah.
Not once.
Oh, definitely.
Not for a moment. And it's a really good story. It's darker than I thought it'd be. And that's coming from me. I'm a huge fan of remixes in every which way and form. The what ifs, the everything. This was a good book, and I'm really glad I bought it. But now I've got to buy all the other ones.
Yeah,
my library doesn't have this series at all.
I really might look into that because it's so intriguing and sounds so interesting that I want to know. I really do. Yeah. That's great. Because Tangled's one of those movies where, like, I'm a huge Disney fan. I don't know if you know this or not.
Oh, what?
Yeah, anybody who listens should hopefully know this. But I'm a huge Disney fan. And Tangled is one that Nevermore and I never saw in the theater. We heard good things, but we just didn't have a chance. Mm-hmm. And so then finally, you know, it's like I saw it for sale at Target. I'm just like, what the hell? Why not? You know, $20. Mm-hmm. I just grabbed it. We bought it. We're like, we've heard good things. If it doesn't, you know, if it's not all that great, whatever, we'll give it to our niece. And we watched it and fell in love right away.
Oh, and yeah. Yeah.
The script in that movie is so clever with how Mother Gothel treats Rapunzel. Mm-hmm. And just everything about, you know, like her nickname for her is Flower, and just like, just her song that she sings is just laden with so many little, you're not human, you know, all this stuff.
Yeah.
It's so
clever. If you watch it again, pay attention. Anytime Gothel kisses Rapunzel,
it's she's her hair.
Kissing her hair.
Yeah.
It's so freaky. So this was a really good book. Very gothic, dark, very interesting. It was absolutely fantastic. So of course now I want to read the entire series. It's like the Evil Queen from Cinderella, and they had like a what if Cinderella,
the stepmom, or the Evil Queen from Snow White.
They do have the Cinderella book. It's coming out next year.
Okay.
But the Evil Queen from Snow White was there, and it's like something like, what if she didn't leave when she should have left in the story, or something like that. It's been a while since I read it, at least a couple of years. But these books are fantastic, and the stuff Disney is putting out, and the writers they have gotten. So this one is by Serena Valentino, if our listeners are interested. It is called Mother Knows Best.
All right.
And I have wanted to read it for years, and I finally got the chance, and I was not disappointed, man. I did like a speed run read through, so now I gotta wait a few months, and then I gotta read it slower to catch any details. You know how it goes sometimes with books.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
So, it's insane.
Well, you know, talking about remixes.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been playing I haven't had a chance to really do much in it, but I've been playing a little game called Miles Morales Spider-Man.
Oh, there's a cat in that game. That's what I know about it.
I found a mission where you go and rescue the cat, and I'm like, yes. And I didn't get the cat right away, and I'm really sad about that. I think you actually have to beat the game before you get that costume with the cat.
Cat backpack.
Yeah, it's great. So I'm not going to go too far into it because it is still pretty brand new. I was lucky enough to snag a PS5, which I still kind of don't believe actually happened. But Miles Morales Spider-Man, a lot of fun so far. I will say that getting kind of, getting back into the swing of things is a little bit harder than I thought it would be. I honestly think it might be the difference of controller, or just because I haven't, you know, I don't have a fully leveled up Spider-Man. And like, you know, I'm getting my butt handed to me a little bit more than I used to. And, you know, his web swinging, I'm not as good as it as I was off of the Peter Parker one. But so far, for barely touching anything in it, I got to say, I really enjoy it again. And, you know, I'm a huge Spider-Man fan anyway. But, you know, if you have a PS4, it's on that. It's also on PS5. So definitely check it out. It is a full-fledged game. However, I have a feeling that it is going to be shorter than the other Spider-Man game was.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
That might happen. But if it's a good game with solid writing and fun gameplay, doesn't matter if it's shorter.
Exactly. And then just to jump in really quick, just right off of that. With the PlayStation 5 came a game called Astro's Playroom. And it's essentially just a tech demo for the controller, because the controller is a crazy thing.
Really?
In the system. It is like, okay, so it's got haptic feedback.
Levers and pulleys and twine and
yeah, totally. No, it's got haptic feedback in the controller and adaptive triggers, which is like it. Without getting your hands on it, you really can't super understand the complexity and what it actually feels like. But it's like, okay, so for example, you know, you have a normal PlayStation controller, like PlayStation 4, 3, 2, whatever. And, you know, you pull the triggers and it's like, okay, cool, pulling triggers. You know, you can do that on this as well. But it can also have force behind it so that it's hard to pull. And it adapts based on, you know, the context of whatever's going on. And it's really neat and adds just a little bit more immersion into gameplay. On top of that, the vibration is so sensitive that, like, when I could feel the difference of surfaces when I'm walking around in that game.
That is insane.
It is mind-blowing. Absolutely mind-blowing. You can feel the difference between on metal, sand, whole bunch of different stuff, because it gives you the slight little feedback on it, and it's amazing, just absolutely amazing. So Astro's Playroom, free, comes with a system if you're able to get one, and it just highlights the controller. That's basically all that it is just a tech demo for that controller. And I've gone through, I've beaten all the little fun little levels and stuff, and I gotta say, it is surprisingly one of the most fun games that I've played in a while. And
that's really cool, though. Tech demos can be so amazing, and it's demonstrating, you know, get your hype for future games, man. You can feel the difference in surfaces.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Even more so is that, like, I've beaten the entire thing already. It probably took, you know, maybe an hour or no longer than that, like maybe 2 hours. I've unlocked all the stuff, and like each section you go to is just a different thing that you learn about on the controller. And it's just cool. Like I can't get over how cool that game is. And it's just fun. You die, guess what? You just load right back up. It's like not harsh. It's not super hard. It's just, hey, get in here, have some fun. So if you own a system and you haven't really tried that out, I really recommend it. And it's a game that honors PlayStation since the very first one, and you'll know what I mean if you play it.
Okay, cool.
Yeah,
I can't wait to see it. It's gonna be a while for me, probably next year after, but I mean,
well, when you do get a chance, I really think that you'll also have your mind blown with that controller. It's really cool.
That sounds really cool.
Yeah. Well, do you have anything else to talk about before we get into show and tell?
Not really. I'm really excited to talk about show and tell.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and jump right into that then. Last episode, we talked about a movie that I brought up, you know, just to be a nice, good, chill movie called The Big Year, all about bird watching.
Yeah. It was surprisingly cutthroat for Burt Wadge.
Kind of.
You know, you expect there to be some tension and drama, and there was. There really was. It was... Some of those guys really need to get smacked.
Yeah, yeah. Owen Wilson needs to rethink his life throughout that entire movie.
His entire life.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, so during the movie, his Owen Wilson, who is the... He is not the villain. He is the antagonist, yeah. Which is a huge difference.
Very big difference.
And his wife is undergoing fertility treatments so they can have a baby.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And he decides he's going to do a big year during this.
Yep, because he needs to make sure that no one beats his record of the previous big year he did, which is the whole idea behind a big year is seeing as many different types of birds that you possibly can in a year.
Yeah. Yeah, in North America.
Yes.
So it's not like you're going to Guatemala or anything. It still looked really expensive. People are dropping everything to find an owl or something. It was so nuts. So Owen Wilson's character is across the country, but the big treatment day is come, and he gets a call with his hand on the clinic door. Saying, hey, I'm looking at a snowy owl right now. And he
turned
around and left. Okay, do you know how hard fertility treatments are on a woman?
Oh, I can guess.
Yeah, yeah. And she was giving herself shots nightly. She's mm-hmm. doing everything she can because to her, the most important thing to do right now was to be preparing, planning, and, you know, doing what you can to have this baby. And to him, it wasn't really on his radar. Yeah, it wasn't.
Like, hey, he's obsessed with mm-hmm. being the guy who's seen the most birds in a year.
Yeah. What are the odds that he went back to that airport and then sat around for a few hours waiting for the next flight?
Oh, probably.
So, yeah, he totally could have done the meeting and everything first.
Yeah.
But he chose not to. And that was heartbreaking. Now, during the movie, there was a couple of times where I was mean and I thought the wife was as terrible person as he was. And I thought she cheated on him. And it turns out not only does his wife not cheat on him, but... she was a really good person.
Yeah.
And, oh, I felt so bad for misjudging her like that, too. I'm like, oh, that's my fault. I thought he found somebody as terrible as he is. My mistake.
Yeah. But then let's look at our protagonists as well. We've got mm-hmm. Jack Black, who is very much not Jack Black in this movie. And Steve Martin, who is, you know, serious actor Steve Martin, not comedic, funny guy Steve Martin. And they both are just really good examples of good people.
Yeah, they really are. Like, Jack Black is doing a big year, but he's not like everybody else in this movie. He still has a full-time job he has to work. Mm-hmm. He has $5,000 saved up, and that's gone before the summer.
I know. And his parents, like his dad, you know, you have the typical dad doesn't understand, the mom's being supportive, and you know, you see that kind of dynamic, and of course it's a feel-good movie, so of course the dad eventually turns around, spoilers, whatever, it's, you know, it's gonna happen. And then we look at Steve Martin's character, who he's an older guy who's basically gonna retire.
He's retired.
Yeah. He's finally doing the thing that he's wanted to do his whole life. And the company keeps trying to get him back in, keeps trying to pull him back in. And like, they don't understand. And he's just.
How worthless were those guys? They couldn't even negotiate a deal without him.
Oh, so much so.
They were these two guys. He leaves in charge of his business because he retired.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Are just so worthless. They can't even do this big deal, and he's pretty much given them a roadmap. All they got to do is follow it.
Yeah, it's just for some reason they just don't have the ability unless he's sitting there and just, you know, drives the car.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah
but I mean, overall, again, it's it's not a you know, a super funny movie. It's definitely, it does have some tension. It does have, you know, some drama in there, but it's nothing mm-hmm. that's going to, you know, blow your mind or anything like that. But overall, I really enjoy it. So overall, what did you think?
I think that guy who planned that Alaskan trip for his honeymoon would be really lucky if he made it back to the mainland undivorced.
Oh, I know.
They're sleeping in an army type barracks with rats crawling around. So they have a chance to see some birds, which is a must-see spot for like 2 weeks in the year for bird watching.
Now,
and if you are doing a big year, you have to be there. And he drags his wife. This is just a throwaway character.
Yeah.
There for a honeymoon. There aren't restaurants there. There are no hotels.
She's not a bird person.
She isn't. How selfish was that? Some of these characters are so selfish in their choices.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. But yeah, it's and you know it's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as you know, you see someone cutting up some fish or whatever, you know someone's going to go outside and get attacked by birds because they smell like fish.
Mm-hmm.
And of course it's her.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That poor woman. I really felt bad for a lot of the people in this movie, but it was really good, like you said. And it wasn't the typical, oh, well, you know, it's the journey that makes it.
yeah.
Like, you know, the message is going to be that somewhere, but honestly, the real winners of that thing weren't the guys who saw the most birds. It was the guys who, they made friends along the way and mm-hmm. they had good experiences and it was something
they enjoyed
yeah.
their life.
Mm-hmm. It was something they only did once, you know, the chance to do it once, and they enjoyed every minute of it because, you know, lousy hotel rooms, standing in swamps, and but it was the experiences, and that's just what they were after. So it was really cool in that respect.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you enjoyed it. You know,
yeah, it was really cute.
The year that we've had, just having a little breath of just kind of like, okay.
Just, yeah, but after helps. The year that we've had, seeing people running around in airports, talking to strangers.
That's the weirdest thing.
Everybody's crowding onto these ferries and stuff and touching stuff that isn't theirs. And I'm just like, huh.
The world used to be something different.
Yeah, things have really changed. All right, moving on. Let's just ignore this, even though part of my brain is now screaming, ah, enclosed cars with strangers. What are you thinking?
Exactly. No! All right, so it was my turn last time. I suggested the big year. What about you? What are you thinking?
Okay, so there's this webcomic. It updates 3 times a week, and I've been reading it for a very long time. Now, you don't have to read the entire thing.
Okay.
That's ridiculous. But just start at the beginning, get as far as you want, and let's talk about it. It's called Gunnar Krigg Court.
Okay.
It is a webcomic. It is done by Tom Siddell, and there are published books about it, but it's all free to read online. And there's a girl, and her mom died, and so she was sent to this school because her dad is very important and has work to do, and her mom was pretty much raising her alone. So this is the story of her life at this school.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I'll really get into. Shenanigans abound, but let me know how far you get, and we'll talk about it next show.
Okay, that sounds good. I'm looking forward to it.
Cool.
All right, well, you know, with that, I think it's time that we pull up those drawbridges.
Yep. My cocoa's empty. It's time to go. Yes. But if you would like to talk to us, you can find us on Twitter. We are very active on Twitter. Sometimes I read too much Twitter, but you can find us. Ben is at Ben Bumhofer at Twitter. Mm-hmm. I am at Aludra's Pets. two mm-hmm. S's are Aludras and then pets.
So yeah, so, two S's.
Yeah, yeah, but not in a row. And the show is at Box Fort Show.
Exactly. If you have any questions, comments, or you know what, if you want to suggest something for Show and Tell, you can always email us. Send those to boxfortshow@gmail.com.
Definitely. Definitely. Ben does other shows, mostly D&D focused, but sometimes he complains about World of Warcraft even more than he does here. And you can find him on Azeroth Roundtable, +5 to hit, D&D Discussions, and the other one.
This show is the other one.
Oh, okay. This is the other one. I just knew there were four. Yep. I just, it wasn't Box Fort was the fourth anymore, you know? Yeah. So yes, there's this show, which Ben is so good on. Guys, aww, guys, give him a hand. Give him a hand.
Aww, thank you. So I try. I really do.
Yes.
But yeah, it's been a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. I just got to say that I'm looking forward to seeing what's up with Celia Menethil.
And, yes, yes.
You know what? Shadowlands on Monday.
Shadowlands on Monday. That is so insane to me. Okay. Everybody stay safe. And thanks for listening.
And until next time, everybody, be good to each other. And goodbye.